Uzak merhaba. Şalom bonjour konnichiwa. Şalom bonjour konnichiwa. Namaste çal. Hadi mera. Roj baş privyet. Aloha. Namaste çal.
Hello, hello, and welcome. This is your host, Kerim, and you are listening to CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver, broadcasting live from the University of British Columbia, which is situated on the traditional, ancestral, and stolen territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh nations. This is the 8th episode of Euro Neuro, the Eurovision Song Contest show of CITR, and today we are going to be discussing Eurovision 2015 with our music and volunteer manager, Aysia from CITR. Welcome, Aysia.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. So, Aysia has been had her own show, Fun Time?
Fan Club.
Fan Club, yeah. I'm really sorry.
That's okay.
Fan Club. And she also has been on and off as guest other shows too, and today I'm delighted to have her finally in Euro Neuro.
I'm very happy to be here.
So, Aysia, can you introduce yourself to us a little bit?
Yeah, so as I think you mentioned, I'm the music and volunteer manager here at CITR. I volunteered here for many years when I was a student. I have a show, or maybe had a show, called Fan Club. My co-host Daniel is actually moving away.
Oh,
so
no.
Yesterday may or may have not have been our last show ever. We shall see. But hopefully I get something going again in the future.
Yeah.
Some new show, but I don't know what that is yet.
Yeah, okay. So how long have you been here at CITR?
So I guess I would say I volunteered here for 3 years, and then I took a break, and then now I've been in my current position working here for a year.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Cool, nice. So how familiar are you with the Eurovision Song Contest?
I'd say I'm more familiar than the average North American, but I definitely don't know that much. I remember watching some of it when I was staying in the Netherlands with my family. And I know ABBA comes from Eurovision, which is like pretty iconic.
So you lived in Netherlands?
No, I was just, my aunt lives there. So I was just staying with her for a few months. Yeah.
Okay.
I've only been there about 3 months.
Okay.
At the longest, but seeing it on TV was interesting, and I feel like my aunts weren't really into it, so we didn't watch it for very long.
Yeah.
And I know it's like this big cultural phenomena, but it's just so odd to me. It's really fascinating. It's like a special type of fascinating.
Yeah, like for 60 years. And like as the generations advance, the popularity increases rather than getting lower and lower. I can say there are some times that they really needed to do something to save Eurovision. But right now, although there's a decrease in the past couple of years, still close to 200 million people watch the grand final every year.
100 million?
200 million
200
people.
200 million, that's nuts.
Live, like on YouTube, on state broadcasters, because state broadcasters show the grand final and the final. So yeah, it's a huge thing.
That's massive. Wow.
So have there been any past Eurovisions or performances that, haunted you?
Haunted
not haunted. No, haunted is not the right word. That stayed with you, let me say.
Okay. Well, as you know, I really like that one Portuguese guy who won.
Yeah, yeah.
A few years ago.
Salvador Sobral, yeah.
Yeah.
I really wanted to have Aysia in for that episode, but
I got things sick. Oh, yeah, I got ill. It's okay. It's not a secret.
Okay.
Yeah, so I feel like that's the only performance. I mean, I love ABBA, but that's so long ago that I feel like it doesn't even count.
Yeah.
And only Eurovision, I would say the only like modern day Eurovision artist that's like really permeated pop culture globally is Måneskin or whatever, the Italian band who won a few years ago. They really like blew up.
Yeah, they did.
I think mainly because of TikTok, probably, honestly.
Probably.
But I feel like besides that, not a lot of Eurovision, like not a lot of it reaches North America.
I agree.
Especially like the names of the musicians and things like that. Like there was that Eurovision movie, I guess, but I don't know.
Have you seen that movie?
I have.
Okay, how did you like it?
I thought it was funny. I don't know.
It was funny.
Yeah. It was funny. Yaya Ding Dong, I don't know.
You know, like that character who always wanted to song Yaya Ding Dong.
Yeah.
He presented Iceland's jury vote in 2021 and he opened the presentation as play Yaya Ding Dong. And everyone in the room knew about that joke.
So oh, nice.
It became a huge thing, yeah.
Well-researched movie.
So today we will discuss Eurovision 2015. And it's personally one of my most favorite Eurovision years. Like, I started watching it regularly in 2006.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, 2009, 2015, and 2021. These three are my most favorite. Yes.
Who won in 21?
Måneskin.
Oh, okay. That was the Italian year.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
But these three are my favorite that I watched. But 2009 is my all-time favorite. So today we will be talking about Eurovision 2015. A brief background info about the contest. It was held in Austria, Vienna, because the previous year, Conchita Wurst, the drag artist, won the contest with her song Rise Like a Phoenix. And Eurovision 2015 was won by Sweden. Sweden wins all the time. They can win anytime they want. And with Måns Zelmerlöw and his song Heroes, which I'm not a big fan of. These are the background information that I can give about Eurovision 2015.
Question.
Yes.
So is whoever wins, do they host it the next year? Is that how it works? Okay.
Yeah, that's how it works.
How much of like an economic burden is this whole thing? It's like the Olympics?
Wonderful question. That's a wonderful question. So it's a huge economic burden because they have to rebuild the arena for hosting that many people and putting the center stage at the center. And hosting people is a big thing, of course. So Ireland is one of the most successful countries, and I think they won the...
Ireland,
yes.
Oh, interesting.
They won 7 times, which is only matched this year by Sweden, 7 wins. And once they won 3 times consecutively, and they said, okay, we basically cannot do it anymore. So the 3rd year, some other country, I think UK stepped in again to host, but I'm not sure about whether that's true. And yeah, it's a huge burden. But for example, last year Ukraine won, but since there's a war going on there, UK hosted it again. UK loves hosting it.
They'll never win.
Yeah. they used to be good. They used to be really good. But in 2000s, they are just a huge, enormous failure.
I remember seeing, I think it was 2021, they got 0 points.
Yeah. They deserved it. They deserved it. Like, UK is one of the 5 countries that advanced to the final automatically.
Why?
They don't go through, because they are the 5 biggest financial contributors of the competition.
That's corrupt,
isn't
like,
it?
This is like the UN and the like the 5
right?
seats.
Right,
like,
right. Exactly. That's the perfect analogy. Wow. So whatever they get, they deserve. Like, however low point they get, they deserve.
I agree with that. It's okay to hate on the English.
Yes, I think. That's true.
Just historically, true. I don't know.
That's true. So always support Ireland. Again,
Irish rights. Yeah. Yes.
I don't know how they did this year, and their song was not something, one of the ones that I remember.
Theirs was weird. I don't know. It was like electro swing.
Okay.
Which I thought was a choice. But I was just like, who is this for? Like, it felt really like kitschy and weird. Like,
okay.
I didn't expect England to be like that. I don't know what I expected, but
they just try everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, they try everything.
Okay, cool. Okay. That's evident.
So, yes, he's a huge economic burden.
Mm-hmm.
And, yes. So, from Eurovision 2015, would you like to start with the winning songs or your favorite songs? Or the songs that you want to play?
Let's start with the winning song, sure.
Okay. The winning song is Sweden's Heroes by Måns Zelmerlöw. They won the jury votes because in the final there's both jury vote and the televote, like 50-50%. Jury vote was won by Sweden, televote was won by Italy.
Oh.
So, shall we play them back to back?
Sure. Wait, how do they choose, though, who wins ultimately?
They combine the two scores.
Okay, cool.
The combination of the scores is what counts.
Like, okay, I see.
That's something I'm against. I think jury vote should be removed because jury vote is what makes the voting part political. Like all the neighboring countries vote for each other.
True.
All Cyprus and Greece always vote for each other.
Yeah, I saw that. It
Turkey
was like
and Azerbaijan.
It has to be really good them to not vote for each other or something.
So, it should be removed. Like this year, for example, jury vote was won by Sweden, which was an song for me. Meh song, I mean. and the televote was won by Finland, which was a great song.
Mm.
But Finland came in second because of the jury vote. So, yeah.
Interesting.
Let's play the overall winner and the jury winner first, Italy. Russia. Not Russia.
Sweden?
Sweden, yes. Which will be followed by Italy, which is Grande Amore by Il Volo. Then we will talk about the songs.
Awesome.
Don't tell the gods I left a mess. I can't undo what has been done. Let's run for cover. What if I'm the only hero left? You better fire off your gun once and forever. He said, go dry your eyes and live your life like there is no tomorrow's sun. And tell the others to go singing like a hummingbird, the greatest anthem ever heard. We are the heroes of our time, but we're dancing with the demons in our minds. We are the heroes of our time. Heroes. But we're dancing with the demons in our minds. Heroes. We are the heroes of our time. Heroes. But we're dancing with the demons in our minds. Heroes. The crickets sing a song for you. Don't say a word, don't make a sound. Life's creation. I make worms turn into butterflies. Wake up and turn this world around in appreciation. He said, I never left your side. When you were lost, I followed right behind. Was your foundation. Now go singing like a hummingbird. Anthem ever heard. Now sing together. We are the heroes of our time. Heroes. But we're dancing with the demons in our minds. Heroes. We are the heroes of our time. Heroes. But
Chiudo gli occhi e penso a lei. Il profumo dolce della pelle sua è una voce dentro che mi sta portando dove nasce il sole. Sole sono le parole, ma se vanno scritte tutto può cambiare. Senza più timore te lo voglio urlare, questo grande amore, amore, solo amore, è quello che sento. Dimmi perché quando penso, penso solo a te. Dimmi perché quando vedo, vedo solo a te.
Welcome back. You are on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver and you are listening to Euronero, the Eurovision Song Contest show of CITR. We have just heard the winning song of Eurovision 2015 and the winner of the televote. Swedish and Italian entries respectively. Heroes by Måns Zelmerlö and Grande Amore by Il Volo. How did you like the songs, Aysia?
I definitely enjoyed the Italian one more than the Swedish one, which I know you agree with. Just a quick note on the Swedish song, because I watched it and I'm like, well, he just won because of the visuals, right?
Yeah.
Like, which is so like kitschy. Sure. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I was like, boring. They've seen this a million times before. Mm-hmm.
And I don't like those kind of effects on the Eurovision stage. Like, I want a full stage performance. I don't want the visual effects. And sometimes, like, they do effects just for the TV audience. Like,
true.
The people on the in the
stadium or whatever.
Stadium or whatever don't see it, but we see it. I hate them the most. So, yeah, but he won because of them.
Yeah.
And he's very good looking,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, he's handsome, I guess. I don't know.
About Italian entry, song?
I liked it. I like the ones that just leaned into, like, their culture, I guess. I mean, I'll say my perceived Or my perception of their culture, because I don't actually know that much about Italy, like, truly. Same with, like, Montenegro. I feel like they both were just, I don't know, they went more, slightly more traditional, or, like, maybe, like, their classical pop sound versus, or, like, you know, do you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, their, probably what, like, hit music on their radio in, like, 1970 sounded like versus this like pop EDM kind of vibe that seems to dominate Eurovision.
But if Van, this doesn't go for the big five like England, Germany, and Italy, France, but the other countries, the smaller countries, or especially Eastern European countries, let me say, when they go for more traditional or folkloric song, they stand out more. And they definitely get more attention.
Like Ukraine in 2021.
Yes, exactly. That's a perfect example.
Goa, I like that
song.
That's one that stayed with me. There you go. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, nice.
To answer your earlier question. Really
yeah. Yeah. So the Italian entry, I remember, was the last one to perform that night, in the night of the grand final. And like I was like so tired of listening to music. I was just waiting for the voting part, and like it came as a banger to me. That's why it this song stayed with me for a long time. And one of the singers of Il Volo is a quartet of four men. His beard type, I carried it for 3 years.
His what?
Beard type, beard style.
He was a fashion inspo.
Yeah,
for you.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, these are, I think, all about the winning songs.
Awesome. I have a question.
Yeah.
So, in general, who usually does better? Groups, duos, or solo artists?
That's a really good question.
Do you notice a trend, or is it kind of like a mixed bag?
I want to say it's a mixed bag. Because in the last few years, mostly solo performance won. Like, solo singers, there's always a dancer team.
Yeah, yeah.
But
I mean, yeah.
Solo singers, like, Måneskin was one of the few bands that won. Kalush Orchestra won. But before that, in the 2010s, I want to say, I think mostly solo singers won. But I want to say being solo is not an advantage. I think it's more about the type of music that you bring in.
Okay.
So I want to say solo winners are more, but it's not a trend towards being solo.
Okay, cool.
Yes.
Sounds good. Awesome. So what is the genre that wins most often? Or like style of song, I guess. Like ballads, do they do better or do like...
I think bop songs do better.
Okay.
So we were talking about it during the break. The official kind of... quote-unquote official classification of the Eurovision songs are three bop song, ballad songs. I can remember the third one, but Aithia has her own classification, which I like better.
My classifications are just there's like Euro pop song about love or whatever, which is like most of them, and I classify Euro pop as like very electronic focused and like EDM kind of driven. I think that's my definition. Is it right? I don't know. Don't come for me if I'm wrong.
No.
And then there's like the inspirational song that's like so there was a plus size musician this time whose whole song was like, I can fight, I'm a person, and I've overcome my difficulties, and I don't know. That's like an archetype. So something like that. And then I can't remember what else I had. Just like, you know, like a folksy kind of.
Yeah. Like I can remember at one category. Like I can remember a song for each category from every year. So you are so right. I like this classification much better. So yeah. What else? Now then, I'd like to move on to the songs that you liked from Eurovision 2015 and songs that I liked. But first, let's take a short break, which we will be back right after.
Okay.
In October of 2022, the Vancouver Adapted Music Society held its flagship event, the Strong Sessions, for the fifth time. All Strong Sessions feature a variety of musicians with disabilities, paired with established local artists and bands. Each month until September this year, VAMS will be releasing the performances from our 2022 show on the Reimagine Radio YouTube channel, where you can also find past Strong Sessions content. To stay up to date with us, subscribe to the channel and drop a like to show some support.
Jean-Michel Blais is a neoclassical artist based in Montreal. MRG Live presents Jean-Michel Blais Live in Vancouver at St. James Hall on June 4th. Tickets available now at admitone.com.
The Aboriginal Frontier Society is a culturally safe, peer-designed, non-judgmental place for Aboriginal peoples, their friends and their family in the downtown Eastside. It's an accessible space where Aboriginal folks can experience, learn, and participate in traditional Aboriginal culture, teachings, and ceremonies as part of their healing journey through life. Right now, they're accepting donations of food and warm clothing, which are needed more than ever as residents of the downtown Eastside face the challenges of COVID-19 and winter weather. If you're able to help, you can drop your donation off at 384 Main Street on weekdays between 9 a.m. and 2 p.m. That is 384 Main Street. To learn more about the Aboriginal Frontdoor Society and other ways that you can support their work, please visit abfrontdoor.org.
Welcome back, everyone. You are on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver, and you are listening to Euro Neuro, the Eurovision Song Contest show of CITR. And in this episode, we are talking about Eurovision 2015 with our very own music and volunteer manager, Aysia.
Hi.
So, Aysia, what songs stood out for you in Eurovision 2015?
I think the songs that stood out for me in both positive and negative ways... I would say I liked Montenegro.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember why, but I wrote down kind of nice next to their name.
Okay.
So that sounds positive to me. Australia's vocals stood out to me as being particularly good. I wasn't mm-hmm. particularly into the song or the guy's fedora, but mm-hmm. I thought he sounded really good.
Nice. This was the first year Australia participated.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So why are they part of it?
In 2015, they were invited to celebrate the 60th anniversary of Eurovision.
Okay.
But originally, no. And they stayed.
I see. Estonia stood out to me because of the intense eye contact between...
I love Estonia.
Nice. The two singers. UK stood out to me as particularly bad. I don't know why they chose electro swing.
Nice.
The choreography was weird and underwhelming. Just all of it felt... I know, I guess it was 8 years ago, but it, like for 2015 too, it just felt really weird and dated. Like, I don't think electro swing was really big in 2015. I don't know.
Actually, Eurovision is like a contemporary feel. But... You're right.
Yeah.
Eurovision is coming from backwards a little bit. One or two steps back.
And then the intro of Sweden song was interesting because there was like steel guitar in it. I just mm-hmm. thought it was an interesting choice.
Whose song did you say?
Sweden's.
Sweden, okay.
There was a bit of steel guitar for like no reason. I don't know. And just overall, I hate to be so negative, but I think the thing is I don't think European pop music is any better or worse than, like, North American pop music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't agree with that.
I'm just used to North American pop music and its particular, like, in the particular ways it's bad, but I'm not used to just the flavor of Europop. It's just a certain thing that I can't stomach. It's really, like, off-putting.
Okay.
I don't know. It's just, like,
that's
not off-putting.
Harsh.
I know. I'm being so harsh. I just, like, I don't know. As I said, I don't know if I said it on air, but it's, like, Love Island music. It's, like, it's so interesting. But it's fun. I will give it to Europe. It seems like they're having a lot more fun.
They're having a lot of fun, yeah. Like, it's a huge thing all around participating countries.
Mm-hmm.
Like... I remember when I was a child, Eurovision night, the grand final night, was one of the few nights I was allowed to stay up late.
Yeah. That was me in American Idol when I was like really young, when it was still a relevant show. I would stay up to watch the finale of that. But yeah, I'm not sure. I guess they're trying to make it. They tried to make it a thing in the States, but they did it with States, which is like awful.
Yeah.
Probably way worse than Eurovision.
Yeah. This year they introduced the worldwide voting. So previously you could only vote from the participating countries. But this year you, even I was, like we were able to vote from Canada, here in Canada.
Oh.
The reason behind it, I think, economical. Because since they kicked out Russia for the invasion of Ukraine.
A lot of people.
Russia is the, like, there are five big financial contributors. Russia is the sixth biggest financial contributor. So they lost a lot of money. Many countries, including Montenegro, are withdrawing due to increasing participation fees. And so that's why I think in order to receive more money, they introduced the worldwide voting. I don't know how much it helped, but I want Russia back. I like Russia as a Eurovision country. I like Russian entries. I want Russia back in the Eurovision sometime. Because I don't know when it will happen, but yeah, this is a disclaimer.
One day. One day it will happen.
So, any songs that you would like to play on the show?
I don't know. We could play the Estonia one since you like it so much.
Yes, let's play Estonia.
Okay, awesome.
Estonia is one of my two favorite Eurovision countries together with Moldova.
Ah.
I look forward to their entries each year. And this was one of the best.
Nice.
So, we will hear Goodbye to Yesterday by Elina Born and Stig Rasta representing Estonia in Eurovision 2015. And we will be back right after that.
I woke up at 6 a.m. My eyes were closed, but my mind was awake. Pretended I was breathing in a deep sleep pace. Got dressed so quietly. I was frozen by the jingle of my keys at the door. As I got outside, smiled to the dog. I didn't wanna wake you up. My life was never gonna be enough. So I took my things and got out of the way now, girl. Took my things and got out of the way now, girl.
Why didn't you wake me up? I'm pretty sure I would have told you to stop. Let's try again and say goodbye. Goodbye to you.
Welcome back, everyone. You are on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver, and you are listening to Euro, the Eurovision Song Contest show of CITR. And we are talking about Eurovision 2015 with Aisia, and we've just heard the Estonian entry, Goodbye to Yesterday, by Elina Rasta. Elina Bornasti Rasta, sorry. Yeah. I don't remember how they did in the grand final, but I think they performed, like, they ended up in a good ranking.
Nice.
I love this song. This is a great song. Like, I listen to it very frequently, every now and then.
How, what percentage of your music library would you say is Eurovision content?
Like, my on repeat list on Spotify, the 7 or 8 songs out of top 10 is Eurovision 2023 songs right
now.
Wow. Yeah. I'm just a big Euro nerd. Like, I listen to Eurovision songs all the time. Because the good, like, it's, I think, by nature, it has songs about every context, every event, every emotions. So whatever I want to play, like whatever type of song I want to play, mm-hmm. I can find an example from the Eurovision library. And I'm not very good at discovering new music. So I go back to my safe choice, comfort zone of Eurovision songs pretty often.
Oh, cool. That's fair.
How about you? Do you have any Eurovision songs in your...
I think I have Shum or whatever, actually.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's the one. I mean, and then anything ABBA's ever done. So I technically think they count.
ABBA, right?
Yeah. But yeah, I have Shum, Goa. Mm-hmm. That's the one Eurovision song in my music library.
So. Have you heard Stole Away from Goa? Like their song that was supposed to be participated in 2020, the year that was cancelled. You should check that out too.
Okay.
2020 song. Yeah.
Nice.
So, any other songs that you liked from 2015?
I think those were all of them.
Okay.
I'm curious about the political context that you were going to...
The biggest part of my, like, Euro, the show. Mm-hmm. Like, Euro itself is a song about the economical crisis in the Eurozone in 2011-12. And I will, like, I'm not sure about it, but I think I will spare a whole episode about the song Euro, which is the Montenegrin entry in 2012. But yeah, 2015 didn't have a particular context, like the war context in 2022, I'm sorry, or the, the Palestinian occupation by Israel in 2019. 2015.
Did that come up in the 2019?
Yeah, because the contest was held in Israel.
Oh, I see.
They really pushed for... holding the contest in Jerusalem, the occupied Palestine, but they end up doing it in Tel Aviv. And the Icelandic band, Hatari, the participant last year, opened the Palestinian flag in the grand final when their votes came up. That was really good, and they were fined because of that. Because, quote-unquote, the Europe is non-political. So, yes. But 2015 doesn't have... a particular theme, political theme. There are some songs that have political background, like the Armenian entry, for example. When, like, Armenian entry had to change its name because the original name was Don't Deny, and the EBU thought, which probably was the case, they were referring to the denial of Armenian genocide by Turkey. Because I don't know how much background you have on Armenian genocide.
I just know that a lot of people deny it. So
yes, that's true.
I get the, you know.
It was a years-long oppression, displacement, and massacre of Armenian people by the Ottoman Empire, and its successor, Turkey, today continues to deny it to this day. It's a huge crime to say these things in Turkey, which you should be fined for, jailed for, or lynched for. Anyways. So it's official, like the Remembrance Day is 24th of April, because 1915, April 24th, many Armenian intellectuals were sent to collection camps, I want to say, but I don't know the exact translation. What camp? Anyway, they were arrested for allegedly trying to influence an uprising or something like that. Since then, the Armenian population in Turkey reduced drastically. I don't want to give the numbers because I don't have the exact numbers. And to this day, Armenian and all the non-Muslim, non-Turkic, non-Turkish population is under heavy oppression in Turkey. And still, people who want to, especially Armenian people who want to make this recognized, like not just the genocide itself, but also the ongoing oppression, are targeted. And the most famous, I think, example in Turkey is the murder of the journalist Hrant Dink that took place in 2007. He was an author in a news. He was not an author, no. He was writing for a journal called, Armenian journal called Agos, and he was born in Turkey, and he really liked the country. He wanted to stay there. He said it several times, like Turkey is not a country that just belongs to Turkish people, because, and he was born, he was part of the country, so he didn't want to he wanted to make the Armenian genocide topic talked in Turkey. He was very vocal about that, and he wanted to make peace between the two communities. And one specific column of his was heavily targeted by the government, the media, the mainstream media, and then he was murdered. It was a government-backed murder, although it remained in the dark for a very long time. But it was one of the biggest events that took Turkey to its place where it is right now. So I took too long, but that's okay. That was the background. So yes, the Armenian entry in 2015 was called "Don't Deny," but then they changed the name to "Face the Shadows," and it's a song about that. You heard that song?
Yes.
What did you think about that?
I honestly, I don't think I put that together listening to it. I think it was it in English? I can't remember.
Yes, it was in English.
It was in English? Okay. Yeah, I mean, to be fair, I didn't listen to all these songs in completion. I just noticed that I thought their vocals were really pretty good. They stood out as, like, particularly good. Songs that stood out to me, I mean, I think that song is probably the most political in the way that it is, like, you know, specific.
Yeah, for sure.
Which is, in my opinion, like, what good political music is like in comparison to, sorry for all the flipping sounds, I'm referring to my notes, Hungary, which was like just like war is bad,
yes,
and the war
kind of
peace, same with Russia's song, it was like look to the stars, we are all one, like I'm really like very vague kind of like I hate the man or like fight, like, you know, just vague political music bothers me. I'm like, just be, just say what you mean. And it doesn't have to necessarily be like, you know, Armenia wasn't going, you deny, like, you're genocide denier, stop doing that. It was like more, I don't know, metaphorical, but the message is still clear.
Yeah.
Which is what I think is what you should do. And they, so they changed their name so they wouldn't get fined.
Yeah.
Basically?
Or, like, I think they wouldn't even be allowed to participate, even if they didn't change the name.
That's so silly.
Because, like, a random info here, Georgia had an entry which was named We Don't Wanna Put In. And they were asked to change name. They said no, and they weren't allowed to participate.
I just feel like it's just absurd to pretend international competition is not going to be political. Like, I don't know. It's always going to be involved. What are you talking about? I don't know. Just so silly. Yeah. I have a question.
Yes.
I don't know if this is too much of like a jump, but during the break, we were talking about how, which is a very big or like a new piece of information to me, where I didn't know that you could be from another country and represent someone in Eurovision. I thought you had to be like a citizen or maybe a PR or something of the, or like the country's equivalent of a PR. Because Celine Dion, you said, participated for Switzerland.
Yeah.
Which is like, that seems, that shouldn't be allowed. That's ridiculous. Like, could a country just pay someone enough money to be like, have $5 billion. Beyonce, will you represent Moldova?
Will Beyonce represent Moldova?
Like Cyprus gives Beyonce
$5 million.
It's been
nice of you to think Moldova has $5
billion. I know, I'm joking. But
Yeah, like officially, Eurovision is a quote-unquote songwriting competition. So the songwriter has to be from the country that it's that the song represents. But the singer can be from anywhere.
That's so silly. And then I have another question.
Yep.
So I'm not sure how often, you know, there's like immigrants representing these countries or writing the songs, blah, 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 blah. But like, you know, in football, and I'm saying football in the, like football.
Soccer.
Like English.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm respecting the rest of the world by saying football instead of soccer.
Yes.
So football players, like, you know, a lot of teams that have like Italy, France, the UK, like teams with a lot of, like the majority of their team.
Yeah.
Are immigrant players.
Yeah.
When they win, everyone's like, yes, amazing. When they lose, they get like hurled with tons of racist abuse from their own country because they lost. I know that happened really bad when England lost.
Yeah.
Euro 2020 final. Yeah.
Like all the players who missed the penalties were black people, like immigrants. I think they were like targeted with very racist attacks. Yeah.
Yeah, it was like Saka and like a couple other players. So I wonder if that's like, does that happen in Eurovision? Like, is there like any backlash? Because I know there's a lot of anti-immigrant sentiments in a lot of countries as well, and like, and also anti-refugee sentiments. So I wonder if there's ever like any discourse around that.
There are immigrant participants. For example, Netherlands 2021 participant was there, Surinamese singer. I think he was born in the Netherlands, but Suriname was
a colony.
Colony of Suriname. Yeah. And his song contains some lyrics in Sinan Togo language. I don't know if I'm saying it correctly. Sinan Tongo, I'm sorry. Yeah. There are immigrant participants that participate. However, in the context of just the Eurovision, I don't remember any anti-immigrant or anti-racist or anti-refugee attacks when they fail. Because, first of all, I don't think people care that much about Eurovision as they do in football. And secondly, the Eurovision tries to brand itself as non-political, so they don't allow it on stage or around the Eurovision itself. But Europe by itself has a very anti-refugee agenda. So the anti-refugee, anti-immigrant thing is true in Europe, but not it's not that apparent in Eurovision, let me say.
But like the fans, like, you know, who are like tweeting, you know, because obviously the organization
that's
itself
a good point.
They won't say anything like that because it's not, you know, PC and like not allowed because they're non-political.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, like people on Twitter or whatever, wherever people are discussing Eurovision, are they like, oh, I can't believe the Netherlands has this guy who's not even from here performing. Like, is there any of that?
That's a really good question, and I don't know the answer to that. I can't recall any examples of that happening.
Cool.
I don't want to say it didn't happen. It probably happened, but I don't recall any examples of that. Cool. That's a good point. I think that's something I should look more into.
Cool. Okay. I was just curious.
Okay.
I'm like, it's like, yeah, it's like the singing Olympics. So I'm like, maybe there's some, because I know a lot of countries in the Olympics also like, basically, you know, not bribe, but they are like, oh, come to our country, we'll give you all this. And they have like random countries who, you know, don't have a lot of immigration going into them, but like have like Ethiopian or Kenyan runners on their team because they're the best run,
like
long-distance runners.
Mo Farah, for example. Sir Mo Farah.
Yeah. I mean, at least, like, you know, England, it's like there's a big... He was actually, you know, he was a victim of human trafficking.
Yes, yes, I heard that.
Into the UK, and he, like, recently came out with that and, like, made a documentary. But, yeah, I'm getting away from the point.
Oh,
but,
that's okay. That's okay. Like, for example, I grew up in Turkey, and... these kind of international competitions are a big thing in Turkey because the Republic of Turkey, as it is today, is founded on building a national identity, which boosts everything that unites, quote-unquote, unites people around the nationalistic values. But it also results in assimilation and, as I said, oppression of many other identities, like the biggest ethnic majority in Turkey, Kurdish people, are the biggest victims of that. Armenian people, they were subject to genocide and then ongoing. That it's a saying that the genocide still continues because the racist motived incidents, let me say, like murders, still happen.
Mm-hmm.
So people say genocide still continues. So, yes. Why was I saying that? Because the international competitions were a big thing. And in the Olympics, Turkey's one of the most successful long-distance runners was an Ethiopian, for example.
Yeah. Cool.
So yeah, that happens. Yeah. No, I don't remember in Eurovision, that happening in Eurovision.
Cool. Okay. Yeah, I was just curious.
Yeah, good point. Thanks for bringing that up.
No problem.
So, shall we hear Armenia?
Sure.
Okay, we will hear Armenian entry, Don't Deny, with its changing name, Face the Shadows, by Genealogy. And we will take another short break, which we will be back right after.
We're fine, so many ways of fooling our heart. Playing too many games, trying to hide when you follow a dream. Surrender the sorrow inside, face every shadow you denied.
Feels like so many times life was unfair. Will you run and forget all the despair?
If it's breaking you down, remember the power inside. Face every shadow you denied. Time is ticking and you keep thinking that you are chicken.
Thank you.
MRG Live presents Marielle Buckley and Jake Vadeland and the Sturgeon Boys with support from Vanessa D and the Brightsides at the Biltmore Cabaret on June 8th. Tickets available at admitone.com.
Whoa, hold on. Where are you taking all those cacti?
I need to put them near the radio.
How come?
They love to hear Everly's nature-based music on Dead Succulent Haunt every Thursday at 5 p.m. on CITR 101.9.
Oh, Dead Succulent Haunt? Where your plants can grow and you can mourn those you've lost?
Come on, plants, let's grow.
Welcome back, everyone. You are on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver, and you are listening to Euro Neuro, the Eurovision Song Contest show of CITR. We are today together with Aisia, and we are talking about Eurovision 2015. We've just heard the Armenian entry, Don't Deny, unofficial name, officially Face the Shadows, by Genealogy.
Yes, we did. Great song. Great tune. Good one.
So,
I have some questions.
Yes.
Oh, sorry. This is your show. What were you going
to
say?
No, please go ahead. I'm just going to wrap up now.
So okay.
Let's wrap up with
cool.
your questions.
I thought we could end on some stereotypes of the competition. Because
mm-hmm.
I have some that I've gleaned from very limited knowledge. So you can tell me if they are accurate in any way or not.
Fire
I feel
away.
Like Eastern European countries, like the former Yugoslavian countries,
mm-hmm.
they always have like baddies, like beautiful women
mm-hmm.
who, I don't know, just look great and sing pop songs about, I don't know, whatever they sing about. Is that accurate,
yes.
you think, in general?
Like, the stereotype is accurate. They're mm-hmm. the stereotype. And, like, there was actually even a song about how beautiful Slavic women are.
Mm-hmm.
It was an entry by Poland in 2014. I haven't been to the Eastern European countries. If you're asking whether the stereotype is accurate...
I'm not saying, this is not of the people. This is just of Eurovision entries.
Yeah, no.
I'm not trying to go on Aaron's stereotype whole nation.
Okay.
I'm talking about their... Yeah. To
okay.
clarify
no,
their
true.
Performances in Eurovision
yes, that's
and
true.
Their music style.
That's true. Like, yes, I can say the stereotypes that you mentioned are... quite often shown in the Eurovision stage.
And then how about like the Nordic rock band? Is
oh,
that
yeah.
very often?
Oh yeah, like Finland, they stopped doing that. Finland is one of the homes for the best metal bands, you know, like
mm-hmm.
Nightwish, Apocalyptica, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Like heavy metal, hard rock is what they do best.
Yeah.
And recently they started sending hard rock and heavy metal songs, which they came second in this year's competition with. And they do that quite often. Sweden doesn't do that quite often. Sweden sends the same song that we just heard in this episode every year. But Norway sometimes does that too.
Once in a while.
And Iceland does that too sometimes.
And I was wondering, is there like a, you know, is there a lot of pressure to do your song in English versus doing it in like your native language?
Good point.
What's up
Very
with
good
that?
Point. There's not a pressure. But, however, if you perform in English, it's more likely that you'll perform, like, you'll get more votes. Because
mm-hmm.
I think people connect to more with the common language. No, sorry, most commonly spoken language.
Yeah.
But, personally, I'm more into country's own language songs, especially Eastern European.
Tuma Devakitsimo, Eton Radio.